The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, on Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Just call me Peggy.
Huh?
Just call me Peggy.
Peggy Sue.
Yeah.
Well, Christopher.
Oh, yeah.
Has been on. Great show today, guys, and perfect sound. Thank you, Mikey.
Oh, we got Mikey, yeah. You see, Christopher has been critiquing all through about us, and he's always going, that mic's quiet, that mic. Now you're here. It's all working, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. It's a professional. Hold on. I haven't
said
that
again.
Mic on.
Because we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do that. Actually, Christopher WhatsApped me and he says, good afternoon.
I haven't finished reading his tweet yet.
Oh, go on. I was going to butt in. Go on.
Yeah, no, I know you were, because you don't want me to read the end of his tweet.
Go on then.
It says, scuffed alloys. Maybe the best thing you can do is a trip to Specsavers.
Oh, how rotten. Well, you know, I'm telling you, Christopher Wayne, that it is the silly high curbs that's ridiculous.
Well,
and they're having a very low car.
Here's my suggestion. Don't drive into them.
Well, they're very narrow roads in Barnes as well. So if you don't get close to the curb, because I was thinking, you know, you're supposed to, you know, 12 inches out, you're supposed to park, apparently. So some car guy told me. But you can't on a narrow road. Anyway, let me read you his WhatsApp.
Did you say 12 inches?
Yeah.
Because that would be like taxi to the curb, surely.
It would, yeah.
Somebody did tell me that once.
That's a whole foot.
I know, but somebody did tell me that because of the sports car.
I think they were lying to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you said centimetres. What's that
like? Or millimetres.
Well, I don't even know. I only know inches. My homeopath said I'd lost a kilo. It means nothing to me. I have no idea what a kilo is.
About 8 stone.
It's not. Rubbish. Anyway, Wayne Cunnington, who's WhatsApped me, because he's not on Twitter, Wayne Cunnington.
No, so you can call him Wayne.
Yeah, I can call him Wayne. He says, good afternoon, minimalists. That's us. Hmm. I'm at home now. He's not at Tesco. He's been to Tesco and he's home. Are we humming any other music themes today? And then he says, New Hampshire is where the lovely, brilliant Mark Stein presents from. Did you know that?
It is indeed.
Yeah. The only show to watch is the Mark Stein show. And then Rebel Yell, alluding to
Billy Idol,
Henry's song
that
you chose for him very well. Should have been Nice Day for a White Wedding. It's the only one I like. He says, Rebel Yell was part of my youth. Love Billy Idol. Eyes Without a Face is my favourite.
Right.
Yeah, I do like Billy Idol as well. So thank you for that, Wayne. And then my son, who's chirping up. In Argentina, Shay, it seems to be mostly meals because we send each other pictures of food. And he's saying, he's given this great big food thing like smoked salmon and all that, £11.
Right.
So
is he eating that in a restaurant or is he cooking it himself?
No, he's in a restaurant. There's the two of them. But he also sent me a great big wad of his money.
Well, that's handy.
$2,000 worth of 74,000 pesos.
Right.
There's a wad.
Don't want to flash that about, do you?
No, I know, especially not there. So, yeah, he's
having fun. Is he in Buenos Aires?
Buenos Aires, yeah.
Is he?
I told him to learn tango while he's there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's got nothing better to do than learn to.
And that's his pool. He's in an Airbnb. Dip after work. Dip after work.
Oh, his trip sounds rubbish, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Sounds rubbish.
Yeah. Right. The Rye Chamber of Commerce have a spring meeting on the 15th of March. That's tomorrow, mañana, between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. at the Brewery Yard Club, Landgate in Rye. Join us for the first of our quarterly chamber meetings, followed by a delicious Mardi Spice curry supper and relaxed networking with your peers. Sounds like fun.
What's a Mardi Spice?
It's a type of curry, I guess.
Ooh. And that's in Rye.
I can't say I've ever had one, but Mardi, M-A-D-H-I.
Okay.
Google it.
I will. Well, I can't while I'm on air because, you know, I'm quite diligent.
Well, you Google everything else while you're on air. You Google pegs.
Well, the pegs are still happening. I'm not going to read any more for a while because you get uppity. Then I've got someone, Mark Russell, who's saying I like squirty cheese in celery because they would... talking about my breakfast this morning. Did you see my breakfast this morning?
I did see your breakfast. The one with fried eggs and avocado.
Yeah, and bacon.
Yeah, which nurseries said will get you fruity.
Yeah, I never
And then
saw
you immediately
that.
Followed it with a picture of a jam jar with an egg and a tomato in it.
That's my going home snack.
All right.
Yeah, going home snack. But I did the bacon in the air fryer with the tomatoes. Right. Took me 11 minutes. You just go away and leave it. Air fryer's amazing. Ninja. So my son got one. We bought him one for Christmas, and then we had to buy ourselves one.
Isn't it just a convection oven?
I don't know how it
pretty
does.
Pretty much.
It does but it does everything, doesn't
they're
it?
They're amazing.
They are amazing.
I got one for Christmas. I could tell I'm getting on now.
Yeah, my son got one for Christmas.
I was so excited.
Yeah.
And I haven't used the oven since.
No, exactly. It's amazing. Exactly. You couldn't get a whole great big chicken in. So what we do now is we cut it. You know, we take the limbs off of the chicken, they're called.
If you were doing a roast chicken, which takes a couple of hours in an oven, how long has it taken an air fryer?
Well, I did a big organic extra large chicken carcass without the wings without the legs.
And the legs, because you've had those.
So the whole carcass, big breast.
The crown. It's called the crown.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Crown, which I smeared in Marmite peanut
butter. I got that earlier,
20 minutes.
Sounds about right, yeah.
It was absolutely, and crisp, and succulent, and was it not dry.
Was it cooked properly?
Yeah, there was no pink in it.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm absolutely certain. What are you looking at your belly button for?
Because I've got a brand new shirt on and I've looked like I spilled something down it.
I noticed that. I thought it was Elvis when I came in.
I know.
Who bought you that?
I bought it myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it leather?
No, it's just a cotton shirt.
It looks very nice. I watched it coming back from Dubai. I watched Elvis the film. Oh, I cried. It was awful what Colonel Parker did to him. It was just awful. And literally he was collapsing and they just jabbed him full of stuff and got him on stage. I bawled my eyes out. Talking of good local businesses, your leather shirt reminded me. I have a pair of leather trousers that I bought when I was 37 and skinny for my first date with a new husband. And I bought them from King's Road. They're quite trendy and they were very expensive at the time. And I can no longer squeeze into them, Millie.
No, I'm shocked. I'm deeply shocked.
Three kids, you know.
Yeah. 30 years later, you can't get them on.
I can't.
Yeah,
right. But the new husband wears them. So he's made them a bit messy. And I got them out of his cupboard and they've got mildew on them and bits of paint on them. And also, I don't know what he's been up to. So I marched them off to Fox's in Tankerton High Street. So it's my local little dry cleaners. And they're an independent. And the lady said to me, I don't know if we can do anything with these. You know, mould is very hard to get off leather and blah-de-blah, and there's paint on them and all that. So anyway, I said, well, do what you can and let me know. So I had a phone call from the boss of Fox's Dry Cleaners, and he said, we're going to do our best, but can't guarantee. He said, and we're going to put it through an extra. It's going to be £15. And I said, that's fine, because they're worth, I'm going to put them on vintage or something, because they're vintage, because I'm old, they're vintage now.
Of course they are, Victorian.
Exactly. So I'd have a bustle with them, wouldn't I? So anyway, long story short, and then he said, no, I'm going to put them through an extra thing and an extra wash. He was going on about, you know, dry cleaning technology and terminology. I lost the will to live by that time. And
I know the feeling.
Yeah. So then I said, well, how much would all that cost? He said, no, we'll do it all for 15.
Cool.
And then I got a call to say they're in, and they are absolutely pristine. And I said to this woman, I said, this is amazing. She said, this is what you get with an independent dry cleaner, because we have all the specialists.
If I ever get a leather shirt, which I haven't got.
It does look like leather.
If I ever got a leather shirt and I've got mould on it, I know where to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you just need one of those, what are those ties that the Teddy Boys wear?
Bootlace tie.
Yeah, that's what you need. That would go with that shirt.
Is that right?
Yeah. Has it got a pleat down the back?
No, it's not. It's not an Arnold Palmer or a Ben Sherman.
Yeah, it looks like it could be, or a Brutus.
Brutus.
Yeah. Do you not remember them?
No, only Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer and
Ben Sherman. I had a couple of.
I do know Brutus. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I went out with skinheads. You see.
Ah, that would be wild.
They had red socks. Great big Doc Martin boots.
Very
18
lace.
Short.
18 lace.
Exactly.
Anyway, look, enough of that.
Two-tone tonic.
Shut up. I want to talk to Millie.
Shall we talk to Millie?
If she can get a word in, poor girl.
I just made her a lovely cup of tea.
She's been sat there desperate to talk to us for ages, and you just keep interrupting.
Champing at the bit, she was. Yeah. Hello, Millie.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the very first time the lovely Millie Moore of Dad's Unlimited. Millie, thank you so much for joining us. I can only apologise. I'm so sorry for the nonsense you've had to put up with.
She was very interested in the pegs.
No, she wasn't.
She actually asked me about Minky.
No one's interested in pegs. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. So, thank you for joining us, Millie. why don't you kick off by telling us all about Dads Unlimited?
Yeah, so Dads Unlimited is a men's mental health charity that supports the emotional safety of men and those they care about. We're based here in Ashford at Evegate Business Park.
Right.
And whether it's the legal challenge of needing support, of gaining meaningful contact with your children, needing support with co-parenting, needing help reducing parental conflict, or you're a male victim of domestic abuse, then we are here to help.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not something that gets focused on in society very much. You know, we're very aware of abuse against women,
yeah.
And all kinds of things there. Not so much with men, but it does happen, and it's surprising how much it happens.
And yet, as far as I read, Millie, male suicide rates are actually quite high. Do you know about that?
Yeah, so as a charity based in Kent, we understand the need for our work, and Kent has more men under the age of 55 taking their own lives than across the country.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, our county is a national outlier.
Wow. Really? That's shocking.
Mm.
And would that be places like Thanet where there's more poverty, perhaps, or is it across Kent?
I think it's across Kent.
Really?
Yeah. Across Kent. But we know that from our work with Public Health Kent that the high-risk suicide triggers are relationship breakdown, financial difficulties, reduced contact with children and domestic abuse.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm being very generalistic here, and I realise I am being generalistic. But when a relationship breaks down, a traditional man-woman relationship, when that breaks down, it tends to be, but not always, the mother that retains the children, which normally means the chap has to move out.
That's very common.
Yeah, and that is the start of the problems, I guess, because they're still paying for one home, have to pay for a second home, lose contact with their children on a daily basis. And I guess they're the kind of issues that you face, yeah?
Yeah, so Dads Unlimited was formed based on lived experience, identifying that there was no real support outlet for fathers to gain meaningful contact with their children.
Do you know who formed it? Do you know who's at the top?
Yeah, that would be Nav, our chief executive.
Okay.
So Dads Unlimited started as a humble Facebook page back in March 2017.
Right, okay.
And we're actually we're celebrating our sixth birthday this Friday. So happy birthday, Dads Unlimited.
We'll sing happy birthday in a minute.
We've since obviously become a national charity working across England and Wales.
I'm not aware of any, I'm sure there probably is, but I'm not aware of any other charity that focuses on that, are you?
I think it's really unique.
Yeah, it sounds unique.
Because I think we're alluding to what Paul said, you know, when dads have to move out and then they might get their children, you know, a midday sort of one night a week and then a weekend or every other weekend. If they've got not very nice accommodation, it can be really, really difficult. And you often see dads, I see dads, McDonald's, sitting with them on a wet weekend. It's very, very difficult.
Sunday morning at McDonald's is dad's day out, isn't it?
That's a lot of the work that we do is to encourage. We don't want the stereotypical dad and child going to McDonald's. We encourage them to do other activities.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
So we do a range of community activities, and we also do something called the Dad's Caf on the last Friday of every month, where a group of dads, not necessarily that we're supporting, come together. It's a peer support group to make friends and to widen their support networks.
Is that local? Is that based in Ashford?
Yeah, that's at Repton Connect Community Centre.
Yeah, okay.
And that's starting again on Friday the 28th of April at 6:30.
Oh, great. So it's after work sort of thing.
Yeah, after work.
And do they go on their own or with children?
On their own.
Okay.
On their own.
So it's a networking and they can share ideas and how they cope and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's all the emotional stuff, isn't there? And also, if you're a couple or you've been a couple, you do stuff together.
Yeah.
You suddenly got to start cooking, washing. I know my new husband doesn't even know how to work the washing machine, bless him. But there's all that emotional stuff, plus you're losing your home and your children.
Yeah, that's a lot to cope with. So back in 2017, Dads Unlimited started as a Facebook page,
right.
And then we established the core one-to-one mentoring service that aims to improve the outcomes for children of separated parents, And what we do is, if a dad comes to us that's experiencing family breakdown, they're assigned a mentor, which will be their point of contact through their journey with us, where they can discuss anything from parental conflict, co-parenting, needing support through the court process, because that's something else that we offer.
That is so important, isn't it? Because when you find yourself in these situations, it's unique, isn't it? You've probably not been in that kind of situation before. There's probably a lot of anger built up, you know, or certainly resentment over a breakdown. You know, you can talk to people who, for want of a better way of putting it, can almost start to get a bit silly about it, yeah? You know, they're my kids, so I'll go and see them when I want to. And you go, oh, hold on a minute, you know, that we've got to be sensible about this, otherwise you could lose access to them altogether, yeah? So having a steadying influence, someone that can help them through it, as you say, Millie, someone that can mentor people through, tell them what the ins and outs of all this are, is an absolute godsend.
Mm. And are the mentors people that have been through it themselves?
So a lot of people at Dads Unlimited do have lived experience. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's brilliant, because I actually went through that myself.
Yeah.
And I took three of my kids on my own. So it's almost a reverse process, but I did it with two girls and my son.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. This is, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
And there was no support for it at all.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, most of the... most of the sway always goes towards women, which is fine. I get it. I absolutely get it. But in my situation, it was completely unique.
Yeah.
Mm. And it reversed. Mm. So yeah, it's quite interesting. There's an organisation for it now. It's really cool.
Yeah, and you must have found it very difficult, Mikey, to be with your kids, but also be going through the stress and the emotional stuff as well.
And three jobs.
Yeah, and trying to keep life normally for them. Mm. Exactly. And do you get involved with the children at all, or just the dads?
Just the dads. So children are our indirect beneficiary.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Of course, yeah.
And then obviously on the back end of the mentoring service, we identified that many of the men being supported through our mentoring service were experiencing domestic abuse.
Okay.
So we presented data to Matthew Scott, the Kent Police and Crime Commissioner, who commissioned us to launch in September 2021 Kent and Medway's first male victim of domestic abuse service.
Excellent.
So this is a groundbreaking initiative.
That's brilliant.
Wow.
A groundbreaking initiative with a team of, I believe now, six male specialist IDVAs. And as of March this month, we recruited a national IDVA. So this is the stepping stone into taking the Save Dave service. Okay. National.
What's this, a national? What did you call it?
So it's the Save Dave service.
Wow.
So it's...
Save Dave.
So Dave stands for Domestic Abuse Victim Empowerment.
Oh, okay.
And we encourage victims to save Dave in their phone to hide the identity from the perpetrator of who we are. It's a bit like the...
So it's like the Angela thing in the pubs for women. What a brilliant idea.
Yes.
Men with domestic abuse, do they find it hard to admit to it or to talk about it?
So, men...
Sorry to interrupt. Can I ask a question before that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to understand what constitutes domestic abuse as far as men are concerned. When we tend to talk about abuse, we tend to think about violence, especially towards women, yeah? If you say... and it's perfectly possible to have violence towards men... from women, but is that the total remit of domestic abuse, or is it psychological? Gaslighting and
So psychological, emotional, physical, coercive and controlling behavior, financial abuse as well, because when you're a man, we often say that the hair pull, the slap, it doesn't hurt. So it's a whole range of different abuses that these men are experiencing. So we're finally giving men the recognition.
Yeah. Okay. So you launched this in 2021. You said
in September 2021, this service was launched.
Right. And it's one of those. excuse me. It's one of those really difficult things, isn't it? Because I think the question that Jules was going on to ask, which is now a very apposite question, is do men find it hard to report it? And having reported it, how do they feel about it, if you see what I mean?
So men are not afraid of opening up. So we need to work to remove that stigma. It's they're afraid of who they're opening up to.
Right, okay.
They're afraid of opening up to people that necessarily don't understand, because a lot of the DA agencies out there are female-led.
Yeah.
They're pink services painted blue.
Yeah.
In a sense. But I've got a little statistic. So from September 2021 to September 2022... 231 inquiries were made to the Save Dave service.
Gosh.
From just across Kent and Medway.
Wow.
With 154 being registered and fully supported.
Mm.
Wow.
That's huge.
It's surprising, isn't it? It just shows you what's going on out there. And I guess like a lot of abuse the other way, and a lot of mental issues were exacerbated big time by the pandemic, the lockdown, and you know, furlough, and everybody being sent home to work.
I think the incidence of divorce went right up, didn't it, after furloughs.
COVID definitely affected.
Yeah.
And then the Save Dave service has also wrote their own recovery program for men, so similar to the Phoenix program for female victims of domestic abuse. We've wrote our own recovery program for men, and that's called Discovery. So that's a 6-week program where we help the male victim find themselves. So that's
many. And what kind of things do you focus on with that?
So that's helping them find themselves, like after the abuse. So it's a 6-week program where they look at rediscovering who they are.
So it's to boost confidence.
Yeah,
do you go into with confidence? I know you don't run the course personally, but do you go into like things like dress and eating, and you know what they're eating, like healthy eating and stuff? Or
so we do.
How do you do it?
So as well at Dads Unlimited, for our mentoring and for our mentoring clients and our domestic abuse clients, we've got a mental health service.
Yeah.
So we offer well-being and mental health support to our clients. We offer 12 sessions of counselling, so that's where the well-being support, where we would look at things like the healthy eating, the sleep, the diet, that sort of thing.
And also, I'm assuming that you have lots of issues with drink and drugs. I'm a board member and trustee of Kenwood Trust, which is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. And again, a lot of the clients that we talk to there have got into the state they've got into due to domestic breakdown. Not necessarily abuse, but domestic breakdown has driven them there. Financial breakdown, which has put them out on the streets, because there's a lot of homeless people out on the streets that are there because of domestic of relationship breakdown. Yeah. So is that something you come across a lot within Dads Unlimited?
Yes.
Drink and drug problems?
Yes, we've identified drink and drugs as an addiction, but a lot of the men that we support, they have an array of addictions, so it's quite common for these men to be gambling. Gym, that seems to be quite a popular one.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a whole array of addictions.
It's interesting, isn't it, how we react to things and how we do things and how we react based on feeling isolated and alone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't really know what to do, so you just do anything.
That is one of our missions and outcomes, to reduce feelings of loneliness and isolation amongst these men. But I just wanted to mention that the Save Dave service is open to men, not just dads, with or without children.
Okay, right. Mm. That's always worth knowing.
Yeah. If there's, I'm just going to add, like, if there's any way that we can support in any way from as a follow-on, system, because something that we actually experience quite a lot in our courses are people post relationship breakdown and they're sort of trying to figure stuff out, and one of the biggest things that we face is a lack of purpose. You know, people that have sort of lost their way, they've dedicated so long to this thing that's now not there. I'm just throwing our hat in the ring, if there's any way that Rebel can support your people, let us know.
Thank you. And some other things that Dads Unlimited do, we offer a co-parenting program as well.
Right.
So that is a 3-hour workshop held online once a month. that helps to reduce parental conflicts and helps parents transition from a once intimate to a co-parenting working relationship.
Okay, let's just explore that so I understand what that is. Yeah. So have you got mum and dad that have basically got a broken down relationship?
So post-separation, yeah. If we're supporting dad, we will encourage dad to attend the co-parenting workshop.
Right.
But to get maximum benefit, we would also ask mum to attend as well.
Yeah, so basically for the kids' benefit of having both parents involved. Yeah,
Working together.
Working together, co-parenting.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, good idea.
It's sort of it's an early intervention preventative programme, so we would help with ways to de-escalate situations.
It's a shame solicitors don't work like that, because when I went through my divorce 31 years ago, it was awful, and it was exacerbated by the solicitors that were supposed to help us, but actually just made loads of money.
When I got divorced 16 years ago, me and the missus went to the same solicitor together, and we went, draw that up, we're parting.
Is that allowed?
Yeah. No, the solicitor got the right arm, and we go, just do as you're told.
That's great. Oh, my solicitor really stirred and made it much, much worse.
Yeah. So that brings me on to something else. So we also have a court support service, so that we help our clients, so through the family court process, and we understand that obviously the complexity of the family court system brings a lot of these dads to the brink of despair. So we've introduced a fixed fee scheme, heavily discounted by 70%, to our dads that are going to family court, and we can instruct barristers directly, because we was awarded a licensed access certificate.
Say that after a glass of wine.
Yeah. So we was awarded a licence access certificate from the bar standard.
I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it? Because the one thing about dads in breakup is that even if it isn't true, we always feel like second class to this. Yeah. We always think that mum is going to get a better deal than we are, no matter what. And you even hear incidences, whether they're true or not, you can't always be sure, but about mums that have behaved really badly but still get custody of children. And of course, I just want to ask you, Millie, in general, one of the sad things about relationship breakdown is that it can get quite toxic.
Yeah.
And people use the children to
as
get
weapons,
back at their their previous partner. I mean, do you offer any kind of support there at all, any kind of counselling there to try and minimise the damage done by that?
To the children?
No, not necessarily, because I know you kind of focus on dads. But I'm just thinking, it can be quite difficult if mum is telling children things that, put you in a bad light, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. So that's where our mentors will come in and work to try and de-escalate the situation. Yeah. And that, by attending the co-parenting program, that will really, really help as well. But the mental health service, the counselling service that we offer for men is... That will really help them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a minefield of an area, really, isn't it? There's so many different aspects to this, and I guess at the end of the day, what you're not saying is you're right, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're right. You're just trying to help everybody cope with it in the best possible way they can. Presumably, although you're not dealing directly with the children, but at the end of the day, when there are children involved, ultimately it's the well-being of children.
Definitely.
And also when parents separate and one moves away from the area, can be really difficult for the kids as well. Changing schools, and
really difficult.
So it could be that the dad doesn't want them to move, but the mum insists on it, or stuff like that.
That's another very common
can of worms.
Very common. Very, very common.
You've also got a syndrome as well in marriages and partnerships that are with people from another country, that somebody can disappear abroad with children.
Of course.
Definitely.
And that can be incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
So, Mikey, when you had this happen to you, did you get any support at all?
No, and I had a lot of problems with social services as well, because they they believed a man couldn't actually look after the three kids. It took a a judge, but I can't remember what she was. She was like
magistrate.
Magistrate. She was overseeing it, and she actually went on my side, because I already had all the processes in all, you know, I had all the processes in place. My mum, my dad, my brother, next door neighbours, etc.
So you had a network.
So I had a really good network already. I'd almost pre-planned it to a point. It's difficult to explain that, how what I mean by that, but there was a lot of, it wasn't something I took lightly. It was when the decision was made, I knew it was going to be a massive change for everybody, and it was a massive change. Now, the biggest problem with it is what a lot of people don't understand is the kids are the ones that take the brunt. It doesn't matter which way you look at it, they always take the brunt, because they always get pulled from pillar to post. So it's what I did with all three of my kids. I've made them very independent, which is great, but sometimes it's a bit annoying.
They've all left now.
They have pretty much.
They've all left.
I've just got the Xbox guy left, and that's all.
Cool. Millie, absolutely blown away by what you guys are doing.
Did we talk about how businesses can help support you?
Yeah, no, not just yet. We can do that. We can definitely.
So we've got lots of listeners that are listening, small, medium businesses and large businesses. Are you looking for any help from outside?
Yeah, so obviously as the cost of living crisis is peaking and inflation is soaring, fundraising is key for Dads Unlimited to keep running. So we understand that corporate social responsibility for these businesses is something that could potentially help Dads Unlimited. So if there's any businesses out there that would like to support Dads Unlimited, whether that's through Charity Partnership of the Year, Gifts in Kind,
just send
fundraising.
Money.
Just fundraising.
Send money.
It might worth me getting you in contact with David Perry from Sea View Projects in Hastings. I do a lot with him.
They do
a lot of guys and ladies, etc., people that come homeless, and that is one of the areas I know they've spoken about.
Mikey needs to be on the show every week.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah. Not least of which, because it makes our microphones work properly.
First time ever. I'm just going to read out Minnie Moore's and Dads Unlimited website. It's 3ws.dadsunlimited, that's UNLTD.org.uk, correct, Minnie?
That is correct.
So Dads Unlimited, which is UNLTD.org.uk. Please get in touch. And if you can find Millie Moore as well and talk to her, that would be even better.
Yeah, you can drop me an email, Millie, MILLIE, at DADSUNLTD.org.uk.
Fabulous.
Fantastic. So, Millie, just before we finish with you for this afternoon, what's your actual role within the charity?
So I'm the Sustainability and Outreach Manager at Dads Unlimited. So I look after all of the funding, the social media, the marketing. Right. It's quite a big remit.
But
it's very important.
Juggling.
Very, very important. So if anybody does want to...
And how long have you been involved with the charity?
I joined Dads Unlimited last March, so a year.
Okay.
I've been at Dads Unlimited for a year now, so...
Fantastic.
It's amazing when you think about there's a national charity on our doorsteps here in Ashford.
Yeah.
And we won the GSK Impact Award last year as well, which is in partnership with the King's Fund. Recognising our work, so
GSK, is that the man's
GlaxoSmithKline?
GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah.
Was the award?
It's the GSK Impact Award in partnership with the King's Fund, which
is huge,
massive, massive. Out of, I think last year 350 charities, we was one of 10 winners. So,
And you offer this service on a national basis?
Yep. So the mentoring service, helping fathers after family breakdown, is national, and our Save Dave service, we've just recruited a national IDVA to take us into the national arena. So yeah, we're working to become national for the Save Dave service as well.
Brilliant. And I'm guessing that you'll try and get into some men's magazines. There are a few men's magazines around.
It's really hard with the media and comms. It can be really hard, even getting on even radio stations. It is super hard to
really
get on.
I would have,
and here we are, here I am, yeah, today.
I would have
thought
it's a huge topic, absolutely huge, and people should be begging to
it
speak
is such
to
a taboo, but it's really hard to
strange, isn't it, how people don't want to... It's like so many things, isn't it? Without being overly horrible, there are things that we're allowed to talk about and things that we're not allowed to talk about. And if you don't fit into the right category, then, you know, nobody's interested.
It's funny because where I live, I live on the seafront in Tankerton, and I see a lot of child abuse where parents are just screaming at their children on the beach. I mean, horrible. And on our flight home, we had a woman with two young children and a man, and she just spent the whole flight screaming at this poor boy. He was about eight, and it, you know, swearing at him, and, you know, wasn't me doing anything wrong. And it's, you know, nobody says anything.
No.
They just watch, you know, and we were all tutting, you know, but nobody says anything, and that's the trouble. And I think for blokes, you know, unless you've got a really good friend, Mikey, did you speak to any really good friends or mates? Do you have any sort of support? I know you had family, but...
No, my mum was brilliant, actually. She went through something very similar. So it was almost like the male version of what she went through, but without some of the abuse that she went through. But, you know, it's character changing.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's... but there again... If I had to go back, I don't think I would do anything different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
There's just one other thing that I wanted to say. So our long-term goal is that we obviously want to start increasing the value of fathers and dads in society. And we've got some events coming up. So if any businesses want to get on board, on the 24th of June, we're holding a fun run at Evegate around the grounds. So we're welcoming businesses if they want to come along and promote their business, whether that's with a stand. We're just asking for a small donation in return, so that there's an opportunity there.
Brilliant.
And we'll put you on all of our social media, because we're on all social media platforms. And then in May, on the 21st of May, we'll be at the Tickle Trout.
At Y.
And we're going to be doing a festival-themed fundraiser.
Oh, fabulous. I'll tell you what you can do. Whenever you've got anything like this, drop me an email. We will always cover it on the radio show. We'll always cover it on our social media. We'll always help promote it. And we've got lots of blogs and newsletters. And we're more than happy to promote any of the things that you're doing, Millie.
Amazing. Thank you.
What was the date of the fun run?
The
24th of April.
24th of June, that one. June. At 10 a.m. And that's around the grounds of Evegate.
Yeah.
I don't know where Evegate is.
It's on the outskirts of Ashford.
Okay.
You're going towards Folkestone.
Okay. 24th
Bay. Of June. Hythe. It's on the Hythe Road, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And then you just turn off of Hythe Road onto Station Road.
Yeah. Many more. Dads Unlimited, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure, an absolute eye-opener. And what you're doing is absolutely brilliant. And, well... brilliant. It is brilliant because sadly it's needed, and that's the main thing, isn't it? But keep on doing what you're doing. It's fantastic. Anybody out there that wants to support Dads Unlimited, which you do, because that's an order, send money. If you didn't get any of the contact details, or you find it difficult to find them, just come to the radio station and we will point you at them. If you want to sponsor anything, get involved in anything, support them in any way, do let us know if you can't let Dads Unlimited know.
And more importantly, if you are looking for support for yourself, then please do visit our website, www.dadsunltd.org.uk, where you can find help and advice, and there's also referral links on there as well. Please don't be ashamed or embarrassed to reach out for support. We're here for you.
We see Millie's got the passion.
She certainly
Millie's
has.
Got the passion.
Yeah, she certainly has.
Yeah, what an amazing charity too. So all you businesses, if you want to support them, do get in touch with Millie. That's great.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Millie.
Thank you.
We're kind of fast approaching the end of the show.
Romney Marsh Business Hub is prominently located within the heart of Mountfield Industrial Estate in New Romney, and provides a high-quality business environment with offices and a meeting room in a secure site. The employment hub is the result of a joint venture between Folkestone and Hythe District Council and the East Kent Spatial Development Company, with support from the Nuclear Decommissioning Authority. Magnot socio-economic program. This sounds very highbrow. And the hub provides a range of flexible managed office suites, virtual offices and service meeting rooms, not only for the businesses within the centre, but for the town of New Romney itself. and the aim to build a community within the centre by providing an accessible breakout area on the ground floor for businesses to discuss initiatives. So that's the Romney Marsh Business Hub. You'll find details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
I love this story that I'm just about to tell you. A 22-year-old entrepreneur has been tipped as a potential next James Dyson after scooping a national award for her technology repair company. Engineer Megan Hale from Westmorling is the co-founder of Team Repair, a sustainable subscription service that teaches children how to repair and reuse technology, guided by an app. Every month, users are sent an electronic gadget with carefully planned faults and all the tools they need to fix those faults. They then send the gadget back to Team Repair, but get to keep the tools. Building a complete toolbox across the 12-month program.
That's a great idea, isn't
what
it?
What a fantastic idea. Yeah. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah. A couple discovered their home has been turned into a giant beehive.
Oh, I saw that.
After honey, you know, I listen to Winnie the Pooh every night. I'm really into honey. Yeah. After honey started dripping down the walls. Mm. Kate Dempsey initially dismissed the dark patches in their Folkestone home as damp, but the sweet smell made her reconsider and she pulled up the floorboards. This revealed the insane find: huge 6-foot pieces of honeycomb and litres of honey. We kept cutting through these floorboards away and more honeycomb kept appearing. Kate Dempsey, I want to know, did you sell it? What did you do?
Do with it, yeah.
6 foot. I mean, you know how much you pay for a proper honeycomb?
That's a big crunchy bar, isn't it?
It's, oh, ooh, Folkestone, I say. I would love some of that.
But quite rightly, what made me laugh was how it was also, you know, oh my God, you know, we've been infested with honey.
Yeah,
I mean, whereas the rest of us are going, whoa.
Yeah. Bottle it up.
Yeah.
Unique restaurants set for one of Kent's most popular tourist destinations will offer uninterrupted views across the English Channel. In total, 6 new eateries will open on and around Folkestone Harbour Arm this summer, with work on 4 of those having now started. They will join a host of venues and vendors already established at the Seafront Spot, which attracted 2 million visitors last year. Yeah, Folkestone is rocking, isn't it?
It certainly is, yep.
And also the EKC Group, which is operating colleges in Broadstairs, Canterbury, Dover, Folkestone and Sheppey, has won a top prize at the Association of Colleges Beacon Awards, dubbed the Oscars of UK colleges. It won the Excellence in Real World Learning Award for its hotel at the Yarrow. I love the Yarrow. And the 4-star venue next to its Broadstairs campus is a fully operational hotel which provides students studying for hospitality qualifications to get real hands-on paid experience. So I've been to a few butlers' dinners there because they train the butlers at the Yarrow.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to get in. It's very popular. You know, you have to book up like 6 months in advance. But proper butlers and things.
I like a butler.
I do. I'd like a butler.
I used to watch that.
What?
A butler.
Get that bus out of here.
Yeah.
Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another one for Boom Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone right over.
Everybody else in the studio is just looking at us completely blankly. You know what you're talking about.
It was a show.
It was a show in the 70s called On the Buses. Yeah. And
Reg Varney.
Yeah.
And Olive. Olive recently died, didn't she?
I saw that, yeah.
Very recently died. Yeah, I bet she liked a peg. Medway Council, they're delighted to welcome Zoe Cairns, who's often on our show, the new chair of business for Medway. She'll be working with Zoe, Zoe will be working with them to help Medway. Lots of tittering going on. Don't titter. With Zoe to help Medway's businesses access resources and support structures that will drive prosperity, improve sustainability and develop a highly trained, resilient workshop. For more information about business support in the Medway area, please visit www.medway.gov.uk/business-for-Medway. I wonder if Nurse Liz is still hanging on to the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you run a business from the boroughs of Tunbridge Wells, Tunbridge and Morling, or in the district of Sevenoaks, come along to an event on the 22nd of March, 9 a.m. at the Mercure Hotel, Tunbridge Wells, and hear about opportunities for business grants, CPD courses and other business benefits. To book your place at eventbrite.co.uk/West Kent Business Support.
CBD, is that the oil?
No, no, no.
What's CBD?
Corporate personal development.
Oh, is he talking
continued job? Personal development.
Yeah, yeah, I thought CBD oil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have that at night.
Council's going to give out marijuana, aren't
they?
Yeah,
you never
of course
know.
They are.
You never know. It's in my bedside drawer.
Yeah.
Overnight, a little drop under the tongue.
Yeah, but you didn't get it from the council, did
no,
you?
No, but yeah. You're talking in jargon, CBD. Yeah. Could be anything, couldn't it, Millie?
Mm. Yeah.
H13 Network, small biz meetups, networking presentations, an intellectual property talk, workshop, studio tour. This is on Thursday the 20th of April at 10:30 in the morning, Canterbury Christ Church University, North Holmes Road, Canterbury. Go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find out all about the small biz meetups.
This is an interesting idea.
Is it?
Yeah. An empty warehouse has been filled with shopping pods for small businesses to sell their handmade items under one roof. Shopping Pods Emporium has taken over a new unit in Javelin Way on the Headwood Industrial Estate in Ashford in a new space called the Creative Enterprise Centre. It's a place where independent businesses from around Kent can rent a pod or display cabinets to sell their items alongside other sellers. It was set up by husband and wife team Simon and Claire Hurst from Folkestone, who wanted to find a way to help small businesses like theirs grow. What a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I am my two cleaning boys that came the other day on Monday. Gosh, seems like a week ago.
Did they escape?
They have escaped. Yeah, yeah. Because they're £20 an hour. I wanted to get rid of them.
Yeah, well, Billy,
just like go.
Billy got locked in your wardrobe, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he needs to come round again.
Billy
actually,
Dean.
I've got some.
Billy Dean, your IT support man. He came to fix your computer one day, and he never got away for
no,
a month.
Well, he's
she locked him in her wardrobe. She did.
There's always something going wrong. There's always something going wrong. But they mentioned I've got some stuff because I tidied a wardrobe, you know, and cleaned out all the shelves and put lemon oil and made it all smell nice, Millie. And I had a load of stuff to take to charity shop. And they mentioned that free shop that we mentioned in Herne Bay last week. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they knew the woman that ran it. So I'm going to trot along and meet her and see if I can get her on the bunker.
Oh, are you? That's cool. Yeah.
When I next go to Herne Bay, avoiding the low or the high curbs. I shall park 12 inches away from the curb.
Just don't drive into it.
It's very difficult when you're parallel parking and the high curb and there's a narrow road.
Yeah, but you're tall enough to actually see out of your car.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a bit of a stiff neck at the moment, though. And like the bleepers are always a bit delayed, don't you find that? By the time you've hit the curb, then it bleeps after.
I hate bleepers on cars. They're just a distraction.
Yeah.
You need a new Qashqai.
Yeah,
yeah. My other half's got one, and we call it Victor Meldrew.
Is that a Nissan?
It whinges at everything. A leaf flies past the front of it.
Yeah.
Is that the Nissan?
Yeah,
I had that in Sweden. We really like that car, but I don't remember it whinging.
Yeah, it's a real whinger of a car.
Is it? So are you saying you don't like it, or you do like it?
No, it's a great car, but it
whinges. All cars whinge now. My car does it.
I've
got a German lady in my car. Goes, don't touch that.
Actually, have you actually driven your new car yet?
Yeah, yeah, I have.
Have you worked out how to use it?
No. I didn't touch it. Oh. The car took me there, and I went to put my hands on the wheel. He went, don't touch that. Yeah, leave that alone.
I prefer the days when you could just put your feet out the bottom and run, like Fred Flintstone. That was my idea of a car. Mm. Or a nice Ford Capri.
Oh, yeah, good old Capri.
Yeah, or an MG BGT. They were nice.
You're just saying letters now, aren't you? You don't know what any
or
of
a Humber. My dad had my brother had a Ford Cortina, and my dad's friend had a Zephyr. They had great names, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine having a Zephyr.
Yeah.
Was it nice, a Zephyr? I can't quite
Zephyrs
remember.
Were nice, yeah. Zephyrs and nice. Zodiacs.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
And a Ford Escort Mexico. That was a dream car when I was a kid.
Yeah, hot as a chilli.
Yeah. Please can we mention the EEL, E-E-L, Kent networking event taking place at the award-winning Champagne at the Spinning Wheel Restaurant Westrum on the 16th of March. Top organiser and industrious business owner Chandra Sharma is in charge of the event, and he will be there to welcome you between 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. That's the EEL event, E-E-L, at the Champagne at the Spinning Wheel Restaurant Westrum.
God, I'm glad I didn't get that to read. Why? Eels and champagnes and things. Yeah. There's a free business workshop at Maidstone Innovation Centre. And let's see the date. This is being held on the 22nd to the 23rd of March. It's now open to more businesses so they can benefit from the free training and is aimed at those looking for investment into product services. Training is delivered by NCL Technology Ventures and will include an overview of the fundraising process, analysis of tech, sales and marketing, financial planning and scalability, communication, identifying potential investors and pitching. So you can go to maidstoneinnovationcentre.co.uk. Their Twitter is at Maidstone Centre. And there is a little, looks like an email, innovation@maidstone.gov.uk for that. 22nd to 23rd of March, Paul Andrews.
Fantastic. Social Enterprise Kent have got a couple of workshops coming up. How to write the perfect grant application. It's taking place in Margate on the 12th of April. And to book it, it's sektraining.org.uk/course, how to write the perfect grant application. And then also in Margate on the 18th of April is an introduction to GDPR. That's sektraining.org.uk/course, an introduction to GDPR.
And Carrara Foods, the lovely Paul Babra.
Oh, yeah.
So you can find Paul. He's a very good friend of ours. We've eaten many of his dishes.
We have.
On the Twitter, he's at Paul Babra, B-A-B-R-A. Carrara Foods and Bombay Cooks. Happy Versailles.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say.
Exactly. You can celebrate the Sikh New Year, April the 14th, 6:45 until 10:15 at the Westgate Hall in Canterbury. For all details, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a slash and have a calendar.
Yep, or you can email Paul direct at info@bombaycooks.co.uk.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a fantastic event.
I might go.
Yeah, no, he's trying to get me to Bakari dance again, and last time I did that, I felt like a right idiot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you look like a right idiot?
I looked even more like a right idiot.
What did you wear?
I don't know.
Didn't you wear a Sikh?
Oh, no, I didn't have a Sikh uniform. I wasn't expecting to do it. I just rocked up for me dinner. I was just expecting
I had a terrible time when I was in India because we did the Golden Triangle very quickly. We had a lovely Sikh driver and he sat in the front and we were in the back, as you do. And he said, in my village, they're all Sikh. And I said, oh, really? What's wrong with them? He was Sikh. Get it? In my village, they're all sick. I said, really? I thought you meant they're all sick.
Yeah, I know.
It was embarrassing. And my husband kicked me and I had to backtrack.
I'm not surprised.
I know. But he was lovely and he had the most amazing hair. You ever seen Sikh's hair?
No, because they wear turbans, don't they?
Yeah, but when they let it out, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, we've reached the end of the show and now you've run me over as well.
Oh,
we'll be back next week with another show. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Henry Nicholson of the Rebel Business School, Millie Moore of Dad's Unlimited, my technical genius, Mike Tomsett, and my lovely co-host, Jill Serkin.
Peggy.
We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is...